Welcome, everybody, to PPC and Chill, the podcast for all paid media news, trends, insights, analysis. I am your host, Brian, and happy fall, everybody. I figured I would actually run with the fall theme. It's fitting. I'm probably going to get a couple of people that roll their eyes, but I want to do another Branding Matters segment. And I actually have a question for you. This is how we're going to kick off this episode is, do you know what food trend is the most pervasive, divisive, and durable in the U.S. culture? Anybody? Well, I should have queued you up because since it is fall, that kind of clued you in on Starbucks's pumpkin spice latte is the answer, the PSL. I know we got some PSL fans listening. I myself am not a PSL fan, but I do love me some fall and I do love some pumpkin flavored things. But I'm not here to talk about my favorite flavor of pumpkin spice items. I want to talk about this movement that Starbucks has created and how it's never too early to create demand. In fact, pumpkin spice latte is actually trademarked by Starbucks. Do you guys know this? PSL is actually trademarked by Starbucks. They own an acronym. They own that movement. They own that culture. Anything you think about fall and autumn, PSL is gonna be up there. Pumpkin spice is up there. It's like the NFL owning a day of the week. Starbucks owns and trademarked PSL, and it's a seasonal movement that brings in $1.4 billion in that short of a time span. So when they do these earlier rollouts, I think it used to start like late August, you would notice that they would gear up for the pumpkin spice and everybody would kind of be up in arms and say, it's still 99 degrees outside. I don't want to be, you know, rush to be in fall and rush for pumpkin spice. Let me still enjoy my summer. And I get that. I actually totally get that. But the early rollout was likely to bring some cheer to some of Starbucks's dark days. And by dark days, I mean, how can they salvage Starbucks's share price? So the PSL release and it being earlier and earlier and moving up each year actually drove weekly foot traffic by 15%. Last year, the number's a little bit different. Last year, I believe it was, you know, about 6 to 7% below their average annual foot traffic. But that's COVID. Thanks, COVID. COVID's ruining everything. So let's zoom out. We can't just look year over year there. But the proof is that pumpkin spice heals all wounds. Even though traffic dipped by 6 or 7% last year, the foot traffic was still up in the midst of a pandemic where you had to wear masks and people objecting to that. So they're just going to go through the drive-thru or they're just going to pick it up, you know, on their app. Well, guess what? People still came in to get the PSL. That was some of the normalcy I think that people wanted that Starbucks has created. I feel like the PSL is just more nostalgic and gives us a sense of, you know, pre-COVID days and a sense of normalcy and something for us to look excited and forward to. And I think people grasp onto anything, especially last year, like any sort of hope or any sort of satisfaction or joy, we will take it and we will savor it more than we probably previously had. So people are still going to Starbucks in waves to get their pumpkin spice latte. Despite the insinuation that this beverage has become synonymous with basic white girl. Let's just call it for what it is. We've seen the memes. We've seen the videos. We've seen kind of what's spun off of the PSL and what has now become hashtag basic and has kind of created a subculture out of this. So this culture of white girl and being basic But the jokes only end on the consumer end because big businesses know and have adopted a lot of their current products and have increased their service extensions to include variations of the pumpkin spice latte. So while it is basic, while people may, you know, feel a certain way when you order pumpkin spice latte and, oh, basic white girl or hashtag basic. Okay, I get it. It's all fun and games, but for businesses, it's not. And actually for Starbucks, a kind of a flashpoint for their anxiety over this marketing is being ripped off by multiple competitors because competitors caught on to what Starbucks had originated and trying to figure out, oh, they've tapped into something. We need to figure out a way to do the same because it's a $1.4 billion industry within such a short time span. But I want to rewind to 2003. You guys remember 2003? It was the number one song at the time was 50 Cent's song called In Da Club, which, you know, I was 13 at the time and I know I was definitely blasting that song. And the number one movie at the time was Finding Nemo, which I did not know was that old. So if we rewind and set ourselves in 2003, the pumpkin spice latte. This is when Starbucks was figuring out what's our next big move. And honestly, the pumpkin spice latte almost did not exist. Starbucks executives nearly banned the drink during the development because of the exact quality that has made it beloved to consumers. You know, that pumpkin spiciness, even though there's no pumpkin in it. Ooh, spoiler. That flavor they thought was too dominating, that it would actually dilute their signature coffee taste. So seasonal drinks are just becoming a thing, and Starbucks was on a mission. I mean, they were dead set on figuring out what seasonal drink is going to rule them all. And they set out to figure out the number one drink and be the number one drink of seasonal drinks. So they're on this mission to recreate the success of some of their popular winter drinks, which are still in distribution. You can still get them now. It's kind of like their peppermint mochas, their eggnog lattes. They had those at the time, but they weren't generating enough revenue for Starbucks to say, hey, these are super successful. So Starbucks' biggest challenge was how do we bottle this feeling of fall in a cardboard cup? So Starbucks decided, hey, you know who we're going to ask? Let's ask our customers what they want. What does a fall drink embody and mean to you? And surprisingly, they actually thought that pumpkin pie would be kind of near the top, but pumpkin pie polled near the bottom in a customer survey of 20 potential fall flavors. So Starbucks went back to the drawing board thinking, hey, we think we know what they want. Consumers said, hey, that's not actually what we want. So despite the lack of enthusiasm of these flavors that Starbucks was thinking about rolling out, there's a gentleman at Starbucks at the time named Dukes. And Dukes thought a pumpkin drink was worth pursuing since there wasn't anything around pumpkin at the time, even though contrary to what the survey told him. This dude just said, I have a gut feeling that this will work out. We just need to figure out a way to make pumpkin work. It doesn't need to be pumpkin pie. We can reiterate that, but pumpkin is the key to fall. And I applaud him. He stuck to his beliefs in this, and he would not take no for an answer. So pumpkin was among the four flavors prototyped. So of the 20 flavors that they had surveyed, four of them made a prototype. And of the four, pumpkin was among them because, again, Dukes was really pushing this idea. And that led scientists to deliberate over how to turn a slice of pie into a latte. I mean, imagine that. Pumpkin pie. How can we embody that flavor and aroma into liquid form that's caffeinated, but also that's not going to be overpowering and overpotent of our signature blend that people have come to know and love at Starbucks. So there's kind of this fine line and this balance that they needed to figure out. And so the scientists that Starbucks had hired decided to figure out a way, had their formula, came up with a recipe for their first signature pumpkin spice latte. But this decision would later lead to the drink's many controversies. The original pumpkin spice latte recipe does not contain any pumpkin. Zelch, nada. You created a pumpkin spice drink without the signature pumpkin in your drink. It's like false advertising from the get-go. We have a pumpkin spice latte. Okay, I expect some pumpkin in there. I expect some fall spices that complement the pumpkin. And then what do you get? Some spices, but no pumpkin. Which kind of defeats the purpose of a pumpkin pie or pumpkin-flavored beverage, don't you think? So, again, this was their first of many controversies. And spoiler alert, if you didn't know that, they have made strides since then, though. So I do believe that there is now pumpkin in their PSL drinks. But despite concerns about a coffee company trying to sell drinks that were barely coffee, the pumpkin spice latte was piloted at 100 stores to test out. So again, we went from the prototype phase of having the pumpkin being one of the four to the scientists creating this formula with absolutely no pumpkin in it to now saying, hey, let's roll out this formula with no pumpkin in it to 100 stores that we select, most of them on the West and East Coast. So if for you at home that's kind of keeping up, again, pumpkin pie pulled at the very bottom of the customer survey of 20 potential fall flavors. So it did not get a lot of consumer enthusiasm, but a gentleman named Duke said, no, let's keep exploring this pumpkin drink and figure out what we can come up with. So they then hired some scientists to come up with a prototype of the pumpkin drink, as well as three other drinks. And they said, the scientist basically said, hey, we've got the formula. It doesn't have pumpkin in it, but it still tastes like it does. So they said, okay, that's fine. At the time, they didn't know that this would be a controversy that consumers would later call them out on. But they continued to go with it and said, hey, we have figured out how to make pumpkin into a liquid caffeinated form. Let's roll it out to 100 stores. And honestly, this kind of shocked me, but from the beginning, sales rapidly beat expectations. And within one decade, Starbucks's pumpkin spice latte was the top selling drink with over 2 million lattes sold. So again, I just want to reiterate what has happened, what's transpired, and how against all odds, it worked. So Starbucks took a poll. Pumpkin pie was on the lower end of that poll of things that people want. So there wasn't a lot of demand, wasn't a lot of enthusiasm for a pumpkin pie flavored coffee beverage. Again, a gentleman at Starbucks, an executive named Dukes, says, no. I want to figure out how to incorporate pumpkin pie, some iteration of pumpkin, into a coffee. I know what the consumer said, but I think if we figure this out, we have a winner. One scientist said, great, came up with this formula. Again, didn't have pumpkin in it, but it tasted like pumpkin. Who's going to ever know? Rolled it out to 100 stores initially. Quickly beat sales expectations, and within 10 years became their number one drink. If you're still not following along, what I'm trying to say is sometimes people don't know what it is they want until you give it to them, or until you offer it to them. And a lot of times what people say and what people do contradict. And that's just humans in general. And that's how marketing works. I'm not saying don't listen to consumers. Feedback is constructive. But how can they give feedback on something that they have never known, tasted, sampled? And Dukes really fought to said, no, we need a fall beverage. And I like the fact that he took the initiative, that he was resilient, and that even contrary to what the consumers wanted, he says, listen, we're going to make such a good beverage here that they have no idea that they needed it until we gave it to them. And that's what happened here. Imagine if Dukes wasn't at Starbucks at the time and they allowed the consumer polls to kind of dictate the flavors and remove pumpkin pie since it polled again at the bottom. Pumpkin spice may not have ever happened. And if it did, it would not have happened at Starbucks and may not have had such a cultural impact as it does now. But it wasn't just the idea and the ingredients that had to work. Starbucks and why Pumpkin Spice Rise to Fame was so successful was Starbucks did such a phenomenal job at marketing and branding their product. They essentially had to convince people that drinking a warm cup of milk and sugar and spices was the ultimate way to experience fall. And hey, if you weren't doing this, you weren't fully integrating yourself with the season. You weren't really enjoying fall. It's almost kind of like a FOMO aspect to it, the scarcity of creating this limited supply of pumpkin spice lattes. And then their messaging, Starbucks's messaging, was to appeal to consumers' desire to latch on to what fall is and before it slips through your fingers. You know, you really want to experience fall? It's not just about going outside and looking at the leaves change colors. You really want to experience fall? It's not just about going to a football game and putting on a sweater. That's part of it. But to fully integrate and to fully experience everything fall has to offer, pumpkin spice latte needs to also be part of your agenda or part of your routine during the fall time. And hey, guess what? We're only doing this for 2 months, so get them while supplies last or you're going to miss out. And now the pumpkin spice latte has become more than a beverage. It has transcended from being a coffee drink to now harboring a season that basically kicking off fall and something that people, consumers yearn for, whether they drink it or whether it's just knowing that the season has begun and kicked off by seeing Starbucks marketing of this and kicking off their fall agenda by putting pumpkin spice at the forefront in the windows with their marketing. Well, guess what? It's now conditioned us as humans to know that the season is upon us. And in many aspects is this culture that it's created that, okay, we have now transcended from the dog days of summer and now fall is here. Like if I were to tell you what day does autumn officially begin, I'm not sure you can give me the answer. It's today, by the way. But if you start seeing pumpkin spice lattes being advertised, well, now your brain starts to get kicked into autumn mode. And your ways of doing things and thinking and what you're yearning for and your whole kind of chemistry of interests and desires shifts as it does with the seasons. And that's what Starbucks has done such a good job at. It's the pumpkin spice latte is less about being addicted to its flavor and more about nostalgia and how the flavor reminds us of our happy holiday memories. And I'm not sure if you all knew this or not, but Dukes was actually onto something when he kept being an advocate and proponent of pushing the pumpkin flavor to get approved and come up with a prototype, because pumpkin's actually recognized, and I didn't know this, but pumpkin's recognized as part of a comfort food. And when you think of comfort food and you think of the shit show that was 2020 and still 2021, if you can give somebody some comfort food in the form of, you know, a to-go cup or a dining experience or simply tapping a button on your app to get some instant satisfaction, some instant nostalgia. Oh, and also it tastes good if you like pumpkin-flavored things. That's just an added value to it. Then it makes sense why people are still willing, during a pandemic, to go into the store and get their dose of comfort, their dose of normalcy, their dose of the autumn, changing of the seasons, and commemorating that with pumpkin spice lattes. And this is why Starbucks, time and time again, one of many examples, Starbucks and great brands tap into emotions and connect us with an experience that transcends the product. That's what Starbucks has done here. And we can all learn from it. And that wraps up today's podcast. As always, many thanks for listening and for tuning in. And feel free to subscribe to PPC and Chill on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Or you can drop us a line on Twitter with any questions, comments, or feedback you may have at TheRealBrian. Again, that's at TheRealBrian. Until next time, stay safe and take care.